Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in a Friday edition of the program. We've made it all the way to the end of the week. We're glad to have you with us today. And just a reminder, if you ever can't catch us live at 11 o'clock, you can still find us as a podcast. Our show is available each afternoon on Apple Podcast and also on SoundCloud as well. So plenty of ways for you to stay up with us each day as we cover Southern Indiana and, of course, IU sports as well. Lots of focus on the Hoosiers here on this program. Glad to have you with us, and let's get into the show lineup for today. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one here in moments. We'll start with our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news, and really not a lot to put forth new today from an IU perspective, but a couple of interesting high school notes. We'll talk about the IHSA, an announcement they made earlier this week that is confusing to some, hopeful to others, about what summer, but more importantly, fall sports could look like. And we'll talk about that in our headline segment in just a few moments. Also, we'll tell you about another player locally that IU Southeast men's basketball has landed for next season. They are really getting out about getting some of these top local players to stay home. And we'll tell you who their latest addition is in our headlines as well. We'll cover a couple other local topics also in our program today. Second segment, we'll have Jared Morris of the Assembly Call with us. Jared is our IU-oriented guest on Friday, you could say. He's with us every Friday as we talk some IU basketball and college hoops and more. We're going to talk a little bit about the recruiting, not necessarily specific players today, but the recruiting calendar and what it could look like moving forward. There's the thought out there that the NCAA is going to, and rightfully so, probably delay the recruiting calendar even further, making it, you know, no visits, anything other than phone contact and things like that, virtual contact not permissible at this time, which is the right thing to do with most colleges closed and the right thing to do with most events not being able to be held right now because of social distancing, and you can't have too many people together with the virus. We know all this by now, so we'll talk some about that as well, because it could get to a point this year, and there is some kind of building rumors that maybe the NCAA at some point in May or June, once there's a clearer read on the July and periods, because that's all that's left, the spring, the two weekends in the spring for coaches to be out have already been lost, obviously. But there is some talk that maybe there could be an August or September live period opportunity. You know, years ago there always was a couple September weekends for women's basketball. That was a big time for the women's coaches to get out and recruit in the fall, so they brought the teams back together, the travel teams, the AAU, the shoe circuit stuff, and they had, I don't know if it was one weekend or two weekends, so it wouldn't be uncanny or something that's unheard of, but it definitely would be far from what the men's basketball recruiting opportunities for D1 coaches has typically looked like. So we'll talk some about that with Jared when he joins us today. And then later in the program, Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star, he joins. We'll talk some about the IHSA's announcement earlier this week about summer activities, and we'll get Kyle's thoughts on the fall. And we'll also talk some basketball with Kyle when he joins us later in the program today. That's the show lineup for this Friday program presented by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Stop by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. If you spend $15 or more, again, $15 expenditure or more at the store, you are eligible to buy a large bone-in ham for 50% off. It's a great deal. You spend $15, You can get a large bone-in ham at 50% off at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, you can interact with the show. We love to get feedback and comments and questions, whether it's for our guests or something for today's show. You can follow me on Twitter, at Hoosier Hills. Again, all one word, Hoosier Hills. You can tweet me. You can follow us there for podcasts and all sorts of stuff on recruiting and basketball locally, and our program, obviously, as well. You can also keep up with us on Facebook. You can like the show's page, The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Get links to podcasts, other updates there as well. And you can send us a message on Facebook as well. Perhaps it'll get used on the air today. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Our first headline is an announcement that came out earlier in the week. The IHSA announced a few things. The state and state school superintendent had confirmed in one of the governor's daily press conferences last week that school buildings in Indiana will remain closed. So summer school, sports, community groups that use schools, whatever the situation is, school buildings have been ordered closed through the end of June, so June 30th. People wondered what would happen after June for a couple reasons. June is a big month for basketball and other sports to practice, to work out, and you also get a lot of basketball games and shootouts. Remember, a lot of teams go to Archie Miller's team camp where they play for a couple days on the Bloomington campus. There are a couple big tournaments in Indianapolis that are set up much like AAU tournaments. And then here locally, we have a big weeknight league that we run at New Albany where there are teams from everywhere that play, you know, 200, 250 games in like a 15-day period. That stuff obviously isn't going to happen in June. We knew that. But a lot of people wondering what could happen in July once school buildings reopen, unless something from the state directive changes about that June 30th date. So the IHSA put out some clarification really intended for athletic directors and schools earlier this week that said a couple things. They said if nothing changes from the state and they do not come back and extend the closure of school buildings, now we're not talking necessarily about classes, but just school buildings, that July 1st, you would be eligible to, you know, wherever it's at in your sports calendar, if you're able to practice, work out, whatever it may be, play scrimmage games, you're able to do so. And, of course, from a basketball perspective, you think about the off-season stuff and the games and the leagues and all that. From a football perspective and a fall sports perspective, they obviously can start to get into practice at some point and start to do other off-season things, and you wonder if that's a good sign. If that picks up July 1st or early in the month of July or even by the middle of July, would we be able to go on and have a traditional fall sports season here in our state? Would kids, especially football, where it's very physical, very intensive, would they have had enough time to, A, get in shape, B, you know, kind of get hit a few times so they're ready for what happens in a regular game, get some of those scrimmages in the summer before they have their official scrimmage in middle of August or so before the season starts. And so as it stands now, the IHSA also waived their moratorium, which is usually the end of June, first week of July. It encompasses the July 4th holiday, which gives kids in a normal setting a chance for a vacation, a chance to get away from their coaches and sports and just be a kid for at least a week in the summer. But they've waived that because obviously there's been nothing going on. So if you can start July 1st, you go ahead and get started. But we'll see. I think as we get closer to July 1st, we'll see a few things. If school buildings are still opening, we'll find out if that's going to happen. We'll find out if schools, and it could be an independent decision from different school districts to different high schools to different principals making decisions. Do they want to have kids in the building for athletics, even if the building can, according to the state of Indiana, be open? And I think when we get closer to that point, that will give us a real clear read on fall sports for sure, specifically high school football, and if it's going to be played on time, if it's going to be played in a regulation way, that will tell us a lot more, because football is not a sport you can jump into right a few weeks before the season starts or, you know, without a lot of practice or preparation leading up to it. So we're a little closer to finding out. A lot of people think this opens the gate wide up and it's good news for fall sports and you can count on fall sports happening. And perhaps that ends up being the case. But, there's a lot that can happen between now and July 1st. Could we go forward in the phases that have been set forth by the governor? Could we have to hold longer in a certain phase? And, of course, God forbid, you don't want to go backwards because the virus is going up and deaths are going up and things like that. So it'll be interesting to see the summer months, and here between now and June 30th, and what happens in the first week of July is going to tell us a lot about the fall and really a lot about next school year, I think, also. So interesting stuff there. I know a lot of you have said, what is going on? What can be done this summer? What cannot be done? That's the very latest. Also, IU Southeast men's basketball, they continue to land a lot of local players. The latest commitment to IU Southeast is a guard that we've talked a lot about on this program and on this station over the past season from Christian Academy in New Albany named TJ Proctor. TJ was an outstanding guard for Steve Kerberg's team. He committed yesterday to IU Southeast. A number of players now from, you know, not just Clark and Floyd counties, but from the immediate southern Indiana area, have made a decision to go to IU Southeast next year. So they had a good season last year. A lot of those guys come back. You add some new players with a local flavor as well. And again, neat to see the local guys stay close to home and play for Wiley Brown at IU Southeast. They continue to do a really good job with this 2020 class, getting players to stay local and to stay at home. That's a look at our Zaxby's headlines for this Friday edition of the program. Don't forget to stop by Zaxby's this weekend. They're still open during the pandemic. They've got great chicken tenders. Those salads are great as well. Plenty of options on the menu with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. That obviously some place for you to visit over the weekend. In addition to our guest today, don't forget at the end of the show, we'll have our senior spotlight. That's where we say thanks and recognize, do our small part, we hope, in recognizing a local senior athlete that had their senior season basically taken from them due to the pandemic. And today we'll be telling you all about Skylar Rourke. She's from Charlestown High School. She's a softball player for Charlestown, has been very successful with that team, has been very successful in the classroom as well. Like so many of the athletes we profile, it's mostly they're not only good on the field, but they're good in the classroom as well. So we'll tell you all about her as we recognize her today in our senior spotlight for spring sport athletes. That comes up a little later in the program. I want to remind you as well, Monday on the show, we are going to have an interview that I recorded yesterday with Trey Kaufman of Silver Creek for the Indiana High School Hoops podcast that Chris May of the Hall of Fame and I have started during this pandemic, where we interview high school coaches and some of the top players around the state. And given the interest in Trey and his recruitment and what he's up to, and, of course, the IU connection there, he's a big IU recruit. We know that. Probably the biggest target on Indiana's radar right now. We'll have about a 12 or 14-minute interview with him for you and play that back on our Monday program. So if you want to hear from Trey, you want to get the latest on him, we talked some recruiting. We didn't pin him down too much on schools, and we did talk about when he could possibly make a decision, but a lot of on and off the court things that we cover with Trey in the interview from that podcast. And again, we'll play it for you on Monday's show. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Jared Morris of the Assembly Call will join. We're going to talk some IU basketball recruiting periods, what it could or couldn't look like this summer, and a lot more, all in the next segment with Jared of the Assembly Call. Stay with us. A Friday edition continues on. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Friday program. Jared Morris of the Assembly Call is always my guest on this segment. IU basketball and more is what we'll cover. Jared, I want to start with this. Obviously, it's an interesting time for recruiting, and we've spent a lot of time talking about how Indiana, how other schools are recruiting players right now. A lot of virtual tours. We've heard that term in interviews with recruits more than I ever have. Not sure I've ever heard that term before in a recruiting context. And we also know that FaceTime and other tools like Zoom are very standard right now in communicating with players and continuing college's pitch on why that player should choose their school. But one thing that's also a big concern for players for multiple reasons, not just their recruiting, but doing so if they happen and making sure that the health of everyone is preserved, of fans and parents and, of course, the players and coaches and referees and everybody else involved, is a July recruiting period. The spring has been lost. The June recruiting period for high school teams, that's going to be out as well. And so all that currently still stands, on the calendar at least, is the opportunity for players to maybe get together in July, do some of the shoe circuit stuff, do the NCAA regional camps. That's their opportunities to play in front of college coaches. But if you're a betting person, I'm not sure you bet on those public events with lots of people there happening as we still are in this pandemic and in this virus. There's some rumors, and they're only rumors, that the live period could be extended. Maybe there could be some August or even some September events and weekends for coaches to get out and watch players, which is something that's never happened. Your thoughts on that, and given how severe the situation is, I think maybe it does call for some crazy changes that in a normal year you just would shake your head at.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's so hard to try and predict if any of those events are going to happen, because, you know, you would really think that testing would have to be more readily available. And, you know, I'm sure if you're going to be putting, you know, high school kids in positions like that, you would want to see some models of it working elsewhere, you know. So and what I mean by that is, you know, maybe if the NBA has figured out a way, you know, to play and you get, you know, some of these other professional sports back, you know, then maybe you can start to figure out some ways where you could do some things like this to get some kind of, you know, opportunity for play and for evaluation. But until those things happen, it's tough to see it happening at a college level and a high school level. And, you know, I think it really brings up an interesting concern, which is, to your point, I think communication, relationship building, learning about schools, you know, a lot of that stuff can still happen with Zoom. It's not as obviously the ideal. It's not as good as being in the same room with somebody. But I think a lot of that stuff will still be able to go on, you know, mostly as normal. What I think is going to be the big issue is just evaluation and development, because, you know, I mean, we know, you know, guys who are juniors going into their senior year, sophomores going into their junior year, there's a lot of fluctuation in guys' games, you know, and how they physically develop and the confidence that they grow and the skills that they develop. And, you know, every summer guys rise up the rankings, guys fall down in the rankings, guys are discovered. And, you know, for coaches, yeah, you can watch game tape and that's all well and good. But, you know, that those are all games from the past. And so not being able to see how these guys develop, not being able to see them in person, is going to make it a lot harder, I think, for coaches to identify who are the guys that are going to be good fits for their system, you know, projecting it forward a year, 2 years down the road. And so, you know, that part, I do not envy coaches who are trying to, you know, to kind of figure these things out. So hopefully they're, you know, we are able to get some type of, you know, in-person evaluation, whatever it may be. Again, I'm not kind of holding my breath for it because, you know, those kinds of things just seem unlikely right now. But it just, it's really going to be interesting to see how the evaluation goes. And because there's just going to be a lot more mistakes made, you know, and guys who end up going to schools and it ends up not being the right fit. If you're not actually able to see guys play basketball, and if guys aren't able to develop, and if that isn't able to happen in front of coaches. So that to me is the real big concern about missing out on all this time.
Absolutely. In keeping with the recruiting theme in general, I wanted to talk a little bit about Archie Miller. We saw the final 150 rankings come out by 247 Sports. I went through those earlier in the week for the 2020 class. Of course, the does not include, at least at this time, Christian Lander, although we have lots of reason to believe he is working to reclassify and become a member of that class. And if he did, he would clearly be Indiana's by far most highest rated player in the class. But all three, the two in-state guys, the one out-of-state guy in the top 150, and doing a little digger reading into it, I didn't realize that every recruit in Archie's recruiting classes, every recruit has been in the top 150, according to 247 Sports, which is pretty remarkable, really, when you compare it to other classes, especially that Com Crean and other IU coaches have had over the years. That said, I don't think, and we've talked a lot about his in-state dominance and how well Archie Miller and his staff have done in the state of Indiana. Really, they've landed every notable player in the state that they've wanted, except Keon Brooks. That was the only real miss of a top-level, key-type college player that I think you could say to this point that hails from the state of Indiana. But generally, Archie Miller, if there's anything he's accomplished, if there's anything he's done at Indiana, that you have to give him absolute high regards for at this time. Recruiting, I think, by far and away, is at the top of the list of things he's changed since he's been in Bloomington so far.
Well, there's no question about it. And, you know, I know, you know, you can look at the rankings of Geronimo Galloway and Leal, and it's like, okay, you know, Jordan Geronimo's 110, and Leal is whatever he was, 133, and Galloway's 135. And it's like, all right, well, that, you know, that's not Romeo Langford at number seven, you know, so it can feel a little bit underwhelming maybe. But I think to your point, you know, Archie has really raised the floor of the types of recruits that Indiana is getting. And that's important when it comes to program depth, when it comes to what you can expect in terms of development. And, you know, I went back and I looked at, if you look at what Archie has done already recruiting-wise, and if you include the commitments from Lander and Duncan in that, and then you compare it to what Indiana's recruiting was in the last 4 years under Crean, it's really interesting the differences, because there's not a big difference at the top. You know, Crean, you know, was he got a few top guys. You know, Thomas Bryant, James Blackman Jr., those were top 20 recruits. You know, Robert Johnson was a top 50 recruit. You know, those last 4 years, actually got more guys in the top 100 than Archie has. I think those last 4 years, there were six guys in the top 100, and Archie's gotten three or four guys in the top 100. But where it really changes is when you start going deeper into those classes. Because what you would notice in a lot of those classes the last 4 years under Crean is you've got a few guys up at the top, and now you're jumping all the way down to the 300s, at times even the 400s. And, you know, look, it worked out okay with OG Anunoby, who was like 270-something and ended up, you know, just having a meteoric rise up the charts. But you had all those other guys that were ranked really low and either didn't develop for you, but took a scholarship while they were here, or went elsewhere and developed, but you didn't really get to enjoy, you know, that production. And so the average recruiting ranking those last 4 years was in the 190s. And for Archie, the average recruiting ranking is 98th. So that shows you that it's more consistent with the type of player that Archie's getting. You know, the average player that Archie's getting is ranked right around where Juwan Morgan was ranked, you know, and Juwan Morgan's a guy who was a role player for 2 years and then took on a starring role after that. And guys that are ranked around there, you know, project more as the guys that you can really count on to become four-year starters or you know, starters as juniors and seniors. It's not as much of a dice roll as it is with the guys who are ranked lower. So, you know, I think those are the kinds of things that are really going to pay dividends for Archie as you move forward, as you're trying to get old and stay old and be consistent, you know, in a college basketball world that really can lead to inconsistencies, especially when your recruiting resembles more of a wild goose chase than it does a real systematic approach, which is what I think Archie has brought to it. So it's been an impressive run, I think, so far for Archie from a recruiting standpoint. You know, Indiana recruiting was a little bit in a ditch, I think, over those last 4 years, you know, with Crean, especially when it came to in-state. There were only two players from the state of Indiana over those last 4 years out of 16 recruits from Indiana, James Blackman and Grant Gilon, and none of the other guys were even from the Midwest, and Archie has almost completely reversed that. So, again, I think we all would have liked to see more results on the court the first 3 years, but I do think it's pretty easy to see how he's building a foundation, starting with recruiting and then obviously, you know, with his style of play, that with patience can, you know, is going to bear some fruit moving forward. And to me, the recruiting and what he's done there, even if it hasn't been maybe as spectacular as you would have wanted with, you know, more five stars and getting, you know, more guys from across the country, it's the kind of consistent foundation, stable foundation that is repeatable for Indiana and that you can really build on and count on moving forward. And that's important.
talking with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call yesterday. Alex Bozich and I spoke a lot about next year's roster and how deep the roster could be, especially if Christian Lander makes his way to Bloomington as a freshman, a reclassified player for next season. And, you know, what challenges maybe that could be for Archie to divvy out playing time and to keep players happy and to give players enough time where they're still getting the opportunity to develop, which is a good problem to have. There's obviously no question about that. And generally, since the end of the season, when you think about next year, like all the national college basketball media, we've talked a lot about Trace Jackson Davis. I know that everyone is excited he's coming back. They're excited about what he could bring to Indiana, and he seems to be really lining up to be a professional prospect down the road, maybe after next season. That said, when you think about Indiana's roster and team for next season, I know that you share the same excitement a lot of fans and people do that Indiana could be pretty good next year if everything comes together. What player beside Trace Jackson Davis are you most hopeful could really step up into, using a key word here, a consistent player and a consistent, maybe a star player, a consistent, maybe it's a role player for Indiana game in and game out that can back up TJD?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question. And I think it's easy to look at a guy like Jerome Hunter and the talent that he has, the ability that he has, and say, hey, that guy could be a 12, 13, 14, you know, point per game score if everything comes together and could really, you know, kind of, you know, blow the lid off the ceiling for this team. And so I think he's certainly a guy that you could look at. But, you know, still, you know, him just entering his second year, you know, it's tough to count on that just given how inconsistent he was this first year. So to me, the guy really has to be Rob Phinisee. You know, I think Al Durham really took some steps forward last season. You know, Justin Smith's going to be a senior. I think you kind of know what you're going to get from those guys. But Rob Phinisee is now a junior, you know, and when he was a freshman, it was kind of like, wow, you know, the first couple months, like this guy really looks like a point guard of the future. He's, you know, he's really good. And then obviously things got derailed by the concussion and he's never really felt the same since. You know, and you got some glimpses of it last season, and I think towards the end of the season, he seemed to look a little bit more comfortable, a little bit more confident. You know, he's always been a guy that has looked confident, you know, on catch and shoot 3-point opportunities and has shot those well, has made clutch shots, has really been a strong defender for most of the time that he's been out there. But he didn't really take the step forward last year as a sophomore, you know, into being kind of an average to above average Big Ten point guard that I think we all expected and really that Indiana needed. And again, there are extenuating circumstances there with the injuries they dealt with last year. And so now, as a junior, I think it's absolutely necessary that he, at a minimum, you know, becomes an above-average Big Ten point guard. And the degree of difficulty for that is a lot less now with Cassius Winston gone and Xavier Simpson gone and Anthony Cowan gone. Like, there is a void at the lead guard spot in this conference that – if Indiana's going to step up and be one of the top 3, 4, 5 teams, they need a point guard, you know, who is, you know, kind of leading them on a game-by-game basis that you can count on both ends, you know, that is one of the 3, 4, 5 best in the league. And so I think that's really it's necessary for Indiana to have the kind of team that you want to have. I mean, yes, you know, if Lander comes in, you're going to get some production from him, but it's very hard to expect that to be consistent production, especially early in the season when he's, you know, a guy who should be a senior in high school and may not even have the benefit of the off-season training program that other guys get when they come in because of all this. So how ready is he going to be? You know, Al Durham, you know, is more of a scorer than a lead guard. We know that, you know, so Rob is really the guy that has got to lead, kind of be the straw that stirs the drink, so to speak, on both ends. And I think if he does that, it really unlocks a lot for Indiana and allows other guys to kind of fall comfortably into roles that work for them and, you know, take some pressure off of Trace Jackson Davis, all of that stuff. And if not, I think it's going to make it a real struggle for Indiana again. So I think you go up and down the roster and you see a lot of potential and there's, you know, kind of question marks about each guy that if they're answered in the affirmative, you know, really can change things for the better for Indiana. But to me, that's the number one question. And if Rob is able to answer that in a positive way and become that guy that we've all thought he can be, it'll be huge for this team.
Talking with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, what about a lineup? You know, we a lot of guys back next year, a lot of new guys. some very interesting combinations I think you could draw from what we know about the returners and from what maybe you expect about some of the new faces. What's a lineup that you like for Indiana next season here as we sit in early May?
I mean, that's the fun part about looking at next year's team, is it does feel like there's a lot of kind of parts and pieces that you can mix and match and really put some good lineups together. You know, I think one that, you know, that a lot of people get excited about just thinking about it, when you look at, okay, if every single player plays at their absolute ceiling, you know, and you want to get the maximum in terms of flexibility and shooting and all this stuff, you know, if you get Rob, Christian Lander, Jerome Hunter, Race Thompson, and Trace Jackson Davis out there, you know, combination offense and defense, it feels like that could really be a good one. But of course, that ignores your seniors in Al Durham and Justin Smith, who are going to be such important members of this team, you know. And so, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, is Joey Brunk a starter? Because, you know, we know at the end of last season, obviously he kept his starting role, but he would lose it every now and then in the second half, and obviously went through some ups and downs as Race Thompson really kind of emerged late in the season. So what happens there? Because I think it's pretty clear, you know, that Rob's going to start, Trace is going to start, you know, Justin Smith, assuming he's back, which I do, you know, he's going to start. And then it'll be interesting to see, you know, Lander, is he a starter? Is he coming off the bench? I would expect him to come off the bench early with Al Durham starting. And then, you know, what happens at the other position? You know, are you playing Justin Smith at the three, and then you've got Race Thompson at the four, and now you've got, you know, three non-shooters, you know, on the court to kick it off, you know, to start games? Or, you know, do Justin or Race, you know, prove that they can make the outside shot? You know, is Jerome a guy that is ready to actually step into a starting role, or is he about, you know, so there's a lot of different questions that we'll have to see answered. But I like lineups that get you at least three shooters on the court. And I think too often over the last three seasons, we have had to play with three non-shooters on the court, and it just kills your efficiency. It kills your spacing on offense. And so I think, you know, hopefully Archie should have more opportunities to do that this season. Still getting, you know, Joey Brunk in the game because I think he's a valuable role player, but able to kind of mix it and match it a little bit more to make sure that you have more shooting, more spacing on the court, and more guys who just, you know, are able to threaten the defense offensively without having to sacrifice too much defensively.
Jared, I want to close today with a question from social media. I talked about this some earlier in the week with, I think it was Zach Osterman, but I'm curious what you have to say. The question is, can Devontae Green somehow make an NBA roster, in your opinion?
Can he? Sure. I mean, you know, look, Devontae does, the way that he plays, he's a really good outside shooter. You know, he's obviously streaky, but he's got relatively good size. He's a decent athlete. You know, I think in a kind of an up court, up tempo, open floor style of game, I think he's shown that he can thrive. So I think if he really works hard, you know, gets even better as a shooter, he's going to have to, you know, become better. I certainly, you know, because I think he understands kind of the NBA life and what it would take because of, you know, the example that he has from his brother. So some of those things that might not be as innate or as easy to learn for some guys, I think he'll have, and he's got some of the requisite skills. So I'm not saying I'm betting on it, you know, that I think it'll happen, but I won't be shocked at all if someday, two or three years from now, you know, he's on a roster kind of in the role of, you know, microwave score, you know, kind of like what Carson Edwards did a little bit for, you know, for Boston, at least in the, you know, in the preseason games. But that kind of guy where it's like you come in, you know, you get some shots. If he's hot, you ride that guy. If not, then maybe he only gets a couple of minutes. You know, I'm rooting for that to happen. Again, I'm not saying I'm betting on it. In fact, I think it's probably unlikely, but it is definitely possible because he has some skills that, you know, if you fit him into the right role, he can succeed in. If you're asking him to be a 30-minute guy in college that does a lot of different things, you're going to get those ups and downs from him because I just don't think that really fits his style and his mentality. But in a role where he's just got to come in and score and be kind of a spark plug type guy, which is, I think, the only thing he could really be in the NBA, there's some evidence to suggest that he might be able to do that. So we'll see.
Jared Morris, the Assembly Call, with us always on Fridays. Jared, thanks as always for the chat.
My pleasure. Have a good weekend.
You too. Jared Morris, the Assembly Call. Don't forget, the latest edition of Assembly Call Radio is out. If you didn't catch it live, you can find it at assemblycall.com. Stay with us. We're headed to a quick commercial break. We're coming back to talk with Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star, the latest on high school sports this summer. And for the fall, we'll get Kyle's thoughts. We'll also talk a little recruiting as well from a basketball perspective. And we've got our senior spotlight still ahead. Today we're going to talk about Skylar Rourke from Charlestown High School, a softball standout for the Pirates. She's the athlete we're going to profile. That comes your way in the next segment. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach, who got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back in this segment. Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star will join. We also have our senior spotlight for Friday. Today we profile Skylar Rourke of Charlestown High School softball a little bit later in the program. Kyle, I want to start with high school sports with you as well. The IHSA with an announcement earlier in the week that if there are no further mandates from the state government, from the State Department of Education, when their current notice that school buildings must be closed until June 30th expires, that the IHSA is going to waive the moratorium period, and that could lead, unless something changes, to practices, whether it be off-season sports or whether it be a fall sport, getting ready for the upcoming season, which has made people hopeful that we could get back to some normalcy with high school sports and likely have a fall season if this all holds true and, say, football teams are able to get together, practice, have some scrimmages, get conditioned and ready for the season in the month of July. Your thoughts on that announcement and generally your thoughts on fall sports as we look ahead? I know it's still a ways out, but everybody looking ahead to that already.
Yeah, I think, you know, and good morning, Matt. I think it's a good, you know, it's a good step. And, you know, I've received some people wondering what exactly it means, questions about what it means, or, you know, does this mean we're on for football? Does this mean we're on for fall sports? I think it's an optimistic, it wasn't unexpected. I'll say that this was sort of, we knew last week when the state superintendent said, you know, schools are closed through June 30th. So, you know, and I talked to Bobby Cox. He had mentioned when we talked about, you know, they were thinking about waiving the moratorium week, you know, because high schools will be closed for all of June, to waive that moratorium week potentially. He was a little bit lukewarm on it, but thought, you know, since, you know, the current situation we're in, it makes sense, you know, to open things up at the start of July if we get to that point. And we ended up getting to that point where, you know, the governor talked on Friday and, you know, schools will be reassessed on July 5th and probably some sort of a plan, preliminary plan for the opening of schools, which would be, you know, basically coming pretty quickly. I know my kids start basically at the end of July, normally into the beginning of August, right around that time. So it's going to be coming pretty quick after July 4th, right around there. But, you know, I would caution people to, you know, this is one step at a time, and this is where we are on May 8th, and that's the plan now is to reopen things to high school practices or whatever's going on that first part of July, you know, whatever you can do at that point. And, you know, I think there's a sense of people, you know, not all people, but some thinking, all right, well, that means everything's on as scheduled and we're back to completely normal. And I don't think that's the case. You know, I think that seems a little bit naive to think we can just go right back into whatever everything was before. Now, I would love that. And I would hope, you know, if we're at that point, that'd be awesome, you know, and we can, you know, resume as normal. But I'm not sure that's that's realistic at this point. So it's sort of one of these things where people want concrete answers. And, you know, as someone who covers stuff and asks questions, I'd love to have concrete answers. But as we've known for 2 months now, we're sort of going off of what leadership above us tells us and trying to make the best decisions as possible as it filters down. And I think that's, you know, I've talked to some, working on a story actually on youth sports and things of that nature, and that's non-affiliated with high school athletics. And, you know, there's a lot of different, there's a lot of gray area, you know, really. And I think people are trying to figure out what's allowable and what's not, what's best for our league, specifically, what's good for, you know, travel sports and those sorts of things. So, you know, nothing, you know, if we revert back to, you know, there's massive breakouts again, you know, it's not business as usual, you know. So I caution people, and you know, again, I would love for us to go back to normal and everything is going well, but yeah, I think it's one step at a time. And right now, that step as of now is to allow practices or, you know, workouts and open the schools back up on the beginning of July, and there's no moratorium, and that's kind of where things stand. And I think it's a hopeful situation right now, and I really do hope that's where we're at, you know, at the start of July, and we can kind of see what the governor says about the return to school and those sorts of things. And that's going to depend, you know, that decision, I think, on what's happening with school will, you know, athletics is right below that, as for, you know, then what happens with high school sports. And maybe there's different ideas for certain fall sports. You know, I think, you know, a sport like cross country could look a lot different than football, obviously, or, you know, even, you know, as kids start to get back into summer baseball now, I think baseball is a sport where you're sort of automatically socially distanced in a lot of ways. So, but, you know, there's also issues. What about the baseball? You know, everybody's touching the baseball and that sort of thing. So there's all kinds of, every sport has its own issues, I guess, or things you have to work out. But I would just caution to say that I think, you know, as of now, that's the plan, and hopefully that is the plan moving forward. But it doesn't mean everything is just perfectly scheduled like always, moving beyond that point.
Kyle, I also want to ask this. Lots of coaches, basketball coaches, I hear from, you know, we're not going to have June basketball. Will we be able to have games and some practices and things like that in July? How important or how big of a deal is it if no basketball is played? And I'm not even talking about AAU, just high school stuff. No practices. How big of a deal, how big of a setback is it if none of that happens this offseason? You know, it's interesting, as much of a basketball crazy state as we are, you know, I get on here and talk about basketball in June because it's a little slower of a time and people do like to know what's going on, I think, with the local high schools and who's playing well. I have you on to talk about, you know, the Charlie Hughes shootout and some of the other big things in June and how recruits are doing that Indiana's interested in, how local players are doing. But outside of that, you know, you don't see a lot of fans outside of parents and families flocking to the summer leagues or to some of these events. It's mainly, you know, just the diehard people that really need to be there, that want to be there. Your take on missing a summer of off-season basketball, how does it really affect teams for next year, months down the line?
Yeah, I think fans don't necessarily. I think fans like to read about it in the summer, or maybe like to hear about it. But people are kind of doing their own thing and not necessarily going to these events all the time. But we do get, you know, I know we still get good traffic on basketball coverage in the summer, and you know, if there's good stories to tell, you know, people are interested in it. From the fan standpoint, I don't think, you know, missing out on a summer is that big a deal. But from a, you know, I talked to a couple of football coaches this week too, who are recently hired by their schools. And it's like, you know, you can't, it's hard to get to know your kids, you know, because, you know, they're doing Zoom calls and that sort of thing, but there's nothing like face-to-face contact. And, you know, so from that standpoint of working with your teams, you know, coaches, I'm sure, are, you know, itching to get back. And I'm, you know, I've never been more anxious to get back out and cover some of this stuff, because it feels like by now we kind of have a good sense of, you know, what happened in the spring, watching some AAU events, who looks good, you know, who's kind of leveled off, you know, what, you know, where's a kid in the freshman class who maybe pops off and is playing well. And there's all kinds of good stuff that comes out of that, you know, early spring period. And then, you know, we get a good chance in the summer in July to see these teams play as high school teams. So, you know, I know from my standpoint, you're a little bit in the dark as to what's going on. Nothing's going on, but what would have been happening is kind of a question. But, you know, from a standpoint of being together, the biggest thing to me is like the, you know, the 2021 class kids who aren't getting a chance to play in front of college coaches and those opportunities that are missed out on. It's just kind of a word of mouth, you know, how good is this kid or where do you think this kid fits in or that sort of thing. And not that these coaches don't know who they are, because I'm sure they've seen them play. But, you know, as we know, a lot of college coaches aren't able to recruit a lot during their own season. So they're catching games here and there. But, you know, there's nothing like a real high-level AAU tournament to just watch players play. You know, just watch how they move, watch how they act, you know, attitudes, you know, all those sorts of things are easier, you know, to tell, you know. And, you know, you can argue the benefits of AAU versus high school, but it is a good chance just to see kids play. And we're missing out on that. And for that, especially for that upcoming senior class, that's a shame. And, you know, I think we're going to get some sort of basketball in July. I hope, you know, so I don't know what it's going to look like, if it's some quasi AAU / high school or and maybe even into August a little bit too, but I'm hopeful that that will happen still, and these kids will get at least a little bit of a chance to get recruited or evaluated in person by college coaches. But again, those are all decisions I think that come down the road. So I, you know, to say that now, I'm just not sure what's going to happen beyond June.
Absolutely, very interesting times, no question about that. It's going to be interesting to see how this stuff plays out, even at the high school level as well. Kyle, thanks as always for the chat. We'll do it again next Friday and appreciate your time.
Oh, you bet. Thanks a lot, Matt. Thanks for having me on.
You're very welcome. Thanks for joining us. Let's close out today with our senior spotlight for a spring sport athlete, Skylar Rourke of Charlestown High School. She is our focus today as we thank and congratulate and send well wishes to seniors across Clark and Floyd counties that have lost their final year, their final season of spring sports due to this COVID-19 pandemic. Skylar Rourke of Charlestown softball was an all-area team member last season, and in the classroom, she's academic honors is the diploma that she's working to here as we approach the end of her high school time in the classroom also. As far as hobbies away from sports, she writes that she is passionate about softball, but also loves to hunt and fish and really loves animals. We asked Skylar some people she wanted to thank, that she wanted to give shout-outs to. She wrote that Bobby Rourke, her dad, has helped her become the athlete she is today, and without him, she could not have fallen in love with softball and accomplish all that she has. She also wanted to thank Joe Hall. She's been hitting with Joe Hall as her hitting coach for so many years and says he knows her well as an athlete and as a person, and he has taught me so many things and has been such a great coach to me for so long. My batting average would not be close to what it is without him, talking about Joe Hall. Skylar Rourke is the daughter of Bobby Rourke and Miranda Woods, and after high school, she's going to attend Shelton State, where she will play softball. She also is going to study to become an athletic trainer. So it sounds like Skylar will be around sports in some form or fashion for the foreseeable future as a college softball player and as an athletic trainer around sports as well. Great to see that she's going to get the opportunity to play competitively again, as she will play at Shelton State in college. Also, when she was nominated, the person that nominated her said that she really put time to work and help the younger girls in the program at Charlestown High School as well, which is a special trait of a leader, especially a senior leader, which, Skylar, we know that you would have been this season. Our hats off to Skylar Rourke. She's our senior spotlight for a spring sport athlete that lost their senior year due to this pandemic. And, Skylar, we wish you the best. We tell you congratulations on a great career, and we know you'll do very well at Shelton State as you move on to college. That wraps up this week. Thanks for being with us. Don't forget, if you missed the live program, you can find us as a podcast as well on Apple Podcast and SoundCloud. I'll be back with you Monday. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Thank you, seniors, for the memories, and thanks all of our Senior Spotlight sponsors, Republic Bank, Allen Electrical, and UPSJobs.com/Louisville.